This is Electric Sisterhood, podcast episode number 310, Confessions of a Resident Evil Apologist. Electric Sisterhood, home of the best.
The fucking best.
Girl gaming tech gadget and anime podcast. I am Ninja Zista.
And I'm P-licious.
I don't think you want to call yourself that. Can we talk about this?
Why that doesn't work?
I'm pretty sure that we spent like 15 minutes going through the reason why you should never refer to yourself
again.
Sounds like
I think P is delicious.
Exactly.
And it's not.
And you know what? Just for that, I'm going to give you a do-over.
I forgot.
I'm Ninja Sista.
And I'm Pandalicious.
And welcome to another episode of our weekly podcast.
Oh boy.
I was going to say, Panda, how you doing? But I think we have an idea. But go ahead. How you doing?
Special.
Yes, you are. You know, Mama always said you special. She was right. She was right.
She just didn't mean stars in the sky special. She meant short bus special.
She might not have known exactly how right she was. But hey, enough about that. We gotta talk about video games and gadgets and stuff.
It's what we do every week.
Pretty much. I mean, it's kind of our thing.
Like, it's kind of our stack. It's like our routine.
It's sort of kind of what we do for, like, realsies and not for play-play.
Well, it's for play-plays, but it's also for realsies.
Well, no, we play for realsies.
Yeah.
Not just for play-play.
Yeah.
Sometimes we play for play-play, but mostly it's play for realsies.
Play for keeps, motherfucker.
Oh, dude.
Pink slips. I play for pink slips.
You don't play for no slips. You so full of shit.
Shut up, man.
I'm sorry, are you
trying to... Let a panda dream!
I'm sorry, are you trying to sound hard? Do you want me to stop?
Well, now I'm Microsoft, so it doesn't even matter.
Oh, sadness. Well, how about we talk about some stuff that maybe will lift your spirits?
That'd be nice, thanks.
Okay, still gonna call you P-licious. So, this week, I got a bunch of, like, little pieces to talk about. And I know that you kind of have a bunch to talk about, Panda.
I only got two things to talk about.
Yeah, but your two things are kind of big.
What are you trying to say?
I'm just saying, they got density.
What are you trying to say?
I'm trying to say you got stuff to say. That's all. Damn.
Well, I do.
Well, back up off. You been watching the Black Power mixtapes or something?
Actually, I did rewatch that.
I feel like there's a lot of...
I'm coming hard.
Yes.
Welcome to my hood.
From that side of the room. Okay, well, anyway. I got to play with a bunch of gadgets this week. And I'm still not done with them, but I can at least share my first reactions. I gotta say on one, no... And the other one, hail to the air. So we'll start with the, no. So recently, as Panda has shared, the gaming TV up on her floor kind of crapped out.
It had the Notebook ending.
I don't even know what that means. Never saw the movie, but that's okay.
And you didn't read the book?
No.
Well, I mean, the book ending was worse than the movie.
Okay, I'm reading the Hunger Games books.
Regardless, at the end of the Notebook, they die.
Spoiler.
I'm not spoiling anything. People have either read the Notebook or haven't, or choose to believe that they never read it.
I don't even know what that statement means. But anyway, so we had to bring the Kinect down to my gaming cave. Now, the problem with bringing the Kinect down to my gaming cave
is because she's small, her space is small.
My space isn't small because I'm small.
No, but it makes sense. You're a small person, you should have a small space.
I don't even know what that means. But anyway, I don't have 8 feet between my TV and my couch. And I definitely don't have 4 feet between the end of my couch and where my game chair is, which is a big, round, swivelly, comfy, as all get out chair. Okay? So we had put the Kinect up in Panda space because she did. So trying to figure out how we could get the Kinect to work until a replacement TV could be procured was a bit of a conundrum. And then we found the Nyko Zoom, which is a set of optics that you can put on your Kinect, which are supposed to drastically reduce the amount of space needed for the Kinect to find you and pick you up in order to use it. Basically taking the 4 feet down to almost down to four feet needed.
Bitch, we're giving your Kinect glasses.
Yeah, basically that's what it is. Big old
Coke bottle motherfucking glasses.
Yeah.
We're going back to the 80s.
Yeah. And that should help. So I ordered one because it's fairly inexpensive. I was able to find it on Amazon for like $16. And it showed up. Took it out of the box. Really simple to put on to the Kinect. It has a guard sticker basically that you put on the front.
Did it also come with a pen protector?
It didn't come with a pen protector.
How about a calculator?
It didn't come with a calculator.
Oh, okay.
Okay. It came with instructions in like 9 different languages and 1 set of photos. And basically you put the protective sticker on the front, and this is to mar any kind of scratching around your optic level for when you put the zoom on or when you're going to take it off. Because it just snaps on to the system. It doesn't slide on. It snaps right in place.
Oh, like a fake sunglasses would to a pair of glasses?
Correct. So like Dwayne's glasses that had the shades up at the top that just clipped onto the bridge and then he fluffed them down.
Classy!
Okay, and so I made sure that the optics were clear because there were a bunch of people who had left some negative comments on Amazon talking about getting sent a Zoom that had dirty optics, which if you have dirty optics means you're not going to get picked up well, and that it was on the interior of the glass so it wasn't something they could reach to clean. So I very carefully inspected mine when it came in, and there were no smudges, no dirt, no particles or anything on the optics.
Bitch was clean!
Got the sucker seated properly, put it at first below my TV because a bunch of the people that I had seen reviews for said that it actually read better with the zoom located underneath their TV as opposed to above their TV, basically being about 2.5 feet off the floor, which is where my TV stand actually sits. So I thought, perfect. Got it set up and got really excited because as soon as I turned on my Xbox, it looked like the Zoom was reading me pretty well. Turns out it wasn't. I started getting this really horrible flicker that was happening. So it was like something was reflecting back into the optic. Because it was only picking up my hand every 2 seconds. So I took the optics off. I checked to make sure there wasn't anything on there, and there wasn't. I turned various lights on. I closed all of my blinds, so there was no natural light coming into my living room. And turned the Zoom back on, and same issue. Now I have track lighting in my nerd cave that has 3 different light settings. And I tried a bunch of different combinations. One with the master center light on, with the backtrack lighting at full, with the backtrack lighting at half, and the backtrack lighting at a quarter. Front, same thing. Front, back, and master on. No go. Still got the flicker. So I was starting to get upset because I thought, oh man, I'm screwed. Not going to be able to do this. And I thought, well, I do have a nice bezel space between the front glass of my TV and the back, so I could theoretically put the Zoom on top of my TV. I'm going to try it on top. Shut up. So I put the Zoom on top of my TV. I went in and this time tried to do the Kinect ID to see if it would find me. And as you may or may not know, if you have a Kinect, when you set up your Kinect ID, it's basically it learning where you are in relation to your space, how big you are.
How little you are if you're a ninja.
Fuck you. And making sure that your Kinect can see you and properly calibrate itself to find you. And moving the Kinect to the top of the TV was the first time that I was able to actually successfully complete that calibration. So once I figured out where the Kinect could see me, which was basically 3 feet in front of my TV, I was able to successfully use the Kinect, not get the blink, and be able to navigate the menus. So I thought, oh my gosh, we're off to the races here. Here we go. I was able to successfully swipe the dashboard left and right to navigate the games and video games panels. I was able to successfully navigate settings and things like that. So I thought, awesome. Now for the ultimate test, an actual game that needs to track me and my movement. And what better game to try than the Dance Central 3 demo that's available on the Xbox Live Marketplace. So jumped into the marketplace, downloaded the demo, waited for the demo to load. First time I tried to load the demo, didn't load, restarted my Xbox. Second time it loads perfect. I'm like, here we go. No, we don't. Not even close. I kept falling in and out of the Kinect being able to see me, which would pause the game all the time. Because it was only able to see me 2 feet in front of my TV, I wasn't able to execute the moves of the game because I was right up on top of my TV. So I was failing out of performing moves correctly in the game over and over and over again. Now, I am a person of color.
What does that have to do with anything?
Well, the Kinect picks you up better the lighter that you are.
Go figure!
No, let's not be like that, especially when you have light clothing on. And so, while I am a person of color, meaning
black person, white suit.
What basically is what I have to try next, because I was wearing black and gray tank and dark denim jeans, and it was just not working at all.
Put on your white t-shirt and your white jogging pants.
Seriously, that's what I'm going to have to do.
With your white Adidas.
So the next thing that I'm going to do is literally get in my white suit, which Panda jokingly is referring to, but it is a white tank and white jogging pants and my white on white Adidas to see if it will track me better. I'm also going to try moving the Kinect again to below my TV because I may be able to back up a couple of feet, hopefully to get it to find me running through the Kinect setup again, because it was running me into my sectional, but it does not look like for my living room, the way that it is set up, that it's going to work, even with all of the light sources that I've turned
on. All of the lights.
So I'm bummed because this means if I can't get this to work out, I'm going to be up the creek without a paddle when it comes to playing Dance Central 3 when it comes out next week. So I'm bummed.
I'm crazy bummed. I can feel your sad face from over here.
You need to feel my sad face.
This is her sad face.
This is feel my sadness through the internet, people. Because I has a major sad. And unfortunately, I don't have the funds to buy the TV I want. Although I did see it at BJ's. And I have to say, the hubby
at the Bejes?
At the Bejes. And the hubby did not disagree with me. We're just trying to figure out how we're going to mount a 70-inch TV in the living room.
Well, if you do that, can we have your old TV?
I'll think about it.
Because, you know,
I just haven't figured out exactly if I have the joints to hoist a 70-inch LED TV.
Let's work on it together.
Panda's like, whatever it takes so I can get your fucking TV.
Well, no, it'd be nice to have a TV so I can hang out in the living room and it not have to read.
Reading is fun.
I like reading, but not all the time.
Okay, so
reading is a luxury for me.
That's my first one. What do you got for the people, Panda?
All right, well, I guess my first little tidbit is I want to talk about a little day adventure I had the other day.
Oh, Lord, here we go.
It's going to be really short and sweet and to the point.
Uh-huh. So, Panda, when are you ever short and sweet and to the point?
Well, I'm sweet and to a point and you're the short.
Fuck you in the face.
Anyway, so I took a lovely little trip up to Weirs, I think it was Weirs or Wires Beach, Weirs Beach.
Oh, Christ.
In New Hampshire, where I got to spend the day at Fun Spot, which apparently is like the coolest place ever, and I'm surprised we've never been before. And literally, it's the country's biggest arcade. And it's got, you know,
motherfucker, you've never wanted to go to an arcade before.
Well, I used to go to Bonkers and the one
Bonkers is not an arcade, it's Chuck E. Cheese.
Yeah. Well, I mean, I'm just saying, I had my, like, exposure at Bonkers and Chuck E. Cheese and yeah, and that fake arcade
you do that know we that Chuck had at the mall. Is a place where you can, a kid can be a kid.
Yeah. Right? I know, but the ball pit, that was my favorite.
The only arcade that you ever went to before this was the one at the Salem Willows.
Yep, and the one at the fake one at the mall.
The fake one at the mall doesn't count because it was fake.
Yeah, but it had DDR, so it kind of felt real.
And it had Dance Dance Revolution, so that makes it an arcade.
It was serious, for realsies. But no, but the one up at Fun Spot, it was literally like 3 or 4 buildings long. And it ranged from, you know, the standard cabinet area that was very retro with a lot of old games like Contra, Double Dragon, Double Dragon 2, a whole row of Pac-Man, Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles, which is my go-to arcade game if I'm going to an arcade.
It's everyone's go-to if they're going to an arcade.
That or The Simpsons, but I actually didn't even play The Simpsons while
it's
I was
not an
there.
Arcade unless you have a whole a classic pinball section.
Yep, which
and TMNT.
Yep.
And you got to have Double Dragon.
Yep.
Contra, I can go back and forth on, you know, it
nope,
being
they had a Contra
it.
There. They
you got to have a pole position sit-down console.
Yep, they had that.
And for me, I got to have a good fighter, so.
Oh, yeah. Mortal Kombat's 1, 2, and 3.
Okay, good. Yep.
They were all there. They were all there in their shining glory. They even had a Paperboy cabinet that literally had, like, the bike handlebars that you could push forward to accelerate and backwards to...
The old school one,
yeah. Oh, man. And it was... And it had a great... And even had a Pong cabinet.
You have to have Pong.
It's and classic. They had those weird cabinets that don't even sit like cabinets, but they're like a table.
Yes, the tabletops.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. I guess that's what they're called.
Yeah, tabletops.
And it was a lot of fun, and it really brought back a lot of my joy from retro games. They even had, like, a couple of cabinets for Super Mario Brothers.
Mm-hmm.
They had a couple of Neo Geos, too. And I remember playing a lot of these things at the fake-ass Bonkers and the fake-ass arcade that
fake
was
fake-ass Bonkers! Although it's still open in DVD. And if you'd like to be a sponsor of our podcast, we'd be happy to have you on board.
But it was so same. Much fun. I really enjoyed myself. And I mean, I wish in my youth that I had known that
in your youth?
In my youth.
What exactly is a youth?
It's my youth without the H.
Oh.
And I wish that I had known it was up there because I would have thought you and I would have been like, Mom, take us to New Hampshire. We're already going to be visually awkward, but that we can be ourselves.
Number one, Mom would never have taken us to New Hampshire to go to an arcade.
I know.
Number two, at the point in time in which I had a driver's license, I was not allowed to drive out of state.
I know.
And number three, at the point in which time that you had a driver's license, I was not in the state for us to take a driving trip to said arcade.
I know.
Number four, since I've been back, when the fuck are you ever home and I'm ever home at the same time for us to go road trip?
I know.
And that's why.
Four solid reasons why this shit never happened.
Four legit reasons.
They're legit.
Why?
They're all sound and grounded.
We've never road tripped.
Well, I'm planning to go back, so you're invited.
Oh, thanks so much. I appreciate the invitation.
You can come with me when I orchestrate.
Yay! I've been invited.
Yep, I'm going to make a little image and select.
Can you add it to my calendar so I'll know when we're going?
Yeah.
So I can, you know, plan to go.
So, I mean, that was my first real bit. And I mean, and it was moderately inexpensive. Like, seriously, $20 gets you like 100 tokens, and each machine only cost about 1 token. So you could literally eat several hours in this place and really only ever have to spend $20.
But that's the way an arcade should be. You should be able to go in, play with tokens, not with
money.
Dollars. You know, because that's the one thing that killed me about some of the arcades that are left is that you go in to play a console and no kid can play because, you know, you maybe get $15 in allowance and machines are all $1 to play. You know, that means you maybe get 15 games. So you've got like 20 minutes because nobody's a great player like that in an arcade anymore. Those guys are all in tournaments. So you maybe get, what, 20 minutes to play and then you gotta go someplace else and you have no more money?
Yeah.
You know, so the fact that you can go someplace and, you know, for $20 be able to get 100 tokens and with most games only, you know, taking a token at a time to play.
Yeah.
You know, that means that you get to spend a good hour playing games, which, you know, as far as stand up and in an arcade.
Well, granted, we were up there for 3 or 4, actually. And I mean, I didn't even burn through the second...
Yeah, because you were going through and seeing what games are there, figuring out what you want to play. You know, for games that you have any aptitude, you're probably getting a couple of plays per token. You know, so you end up having an afternoon. I'm talking, you know, for somebody like me. Like, I, with an arcade like that, I'm going to blow through 100 tokens.
She could be like, whee!
Probably in about an hour and a half, because there's, you know, six games that I'm probably going to really focus on that I want to play because they're my nostalgia games. Like Pole Position, like Centipede, especially if they have Centipede with the trackball. It only counts if they have it with the trackball.
I didn't play it.
So it only counts if they have it with the trackball, but I'm sure from the sounds of it, they probably do. You know, I'm going to spend at least 50 tokens on Donkey Kong. I'm going to spend, you know, at least 20 tokens on Centipede. I'm going to find the Galaga console.
Yep, they had several Galaga consoles.
I'm going to find it, and that's where you'll probably find me most of the day, you know. But I'm also going to look to play some of the pinball machines, especially if they have a KISS pinball. Which
Yep, they did, and an Addams Family one, too.
That's important, you know, because those are some of my favorite nostalgic...
Eerily enough, they didn't have a DDR. There, which me and the person I went with were kind of surprised about. Granted, I've never played DDR in my life.
I've played DDR one time in an arcade, and then the Asian kid got on, and I was like, all right, well.
But Ninja, you're black.
Yes, but I am not Korean.
But you played it.
Yeah, I did.
Why? We can dance for real.
Great White Buffalo.
Great White Buffalo.
Great White Buffalo.
But anyway, it was a lot of fun. So, I mean, if you live in the New England area, have a car, and have a day that you're like, I don't know what to do with myself, take yourself up to fucking Laconia. I think that's how it's pronounced. And go to Fun Spot and just go fucking game wild on it. Go ham on it.
Go ham and cheese on it.
Go ham and cheese on it. Yeah, you should pack a lunch so then you have more money for tokens. So that's my first little bit. What else do you have for the people?
All right. Well, you know, I talked about Dead or Alive 5 last go round, and we're not even a week out, and we got some more stuff. So the Tecmo Koei team released the first pack of DLC for the game, and it's actually free, and it's a costume pack.
Bitch, did you say free?
I said free.
Free?
I said free.
Hallelujah.
You're really, really black today. It's really kind of surprising.
It happened.
Okay, so obviously you just need to go to arcades more often. It seems to bring out your Negro. I'm not exactly sure why.
I don't know how that works.
But I'll accept it. So the DLC pack is a bunch of costumes for various characters. It's not a DLC pack with costumes for every character, but a bunch. I'm sure that there'll be more character packs that will come, but, you know, as far as being a nice freebie, it doesn't suck. So you get a outfit for Kokoro, which is her festival outfit. You get the alien outfit for Zack, which anyone who played DOA 2 or DOA 2 Hardcore remembers a shiny alien suit with the light up little thing that made him look like a Teletubby from space. Yep, that outfit. You get Helena's swallowtail outfit, which is basically the red version of the blue vested and coated outfit that she has. Again, anyone that played DOA 2 or 2 Hardcore here in the U.S. will recognize that one. Bayman's beret outfit. Genfu's tiger kung fu outfit from DOA 2 / Hardcore in the U.S. Christie's leather gear outfit, you know, the blue flame one that almost makes her boobs pop out. Yep, that one. Tina gets her blue ring outfit from the original game for anybody that played it. You'll remember that. And Mila actually gets Tina's original outfit from the game, which is the red bra tied in a knot with black boxing pants. There are also some updated outfits for Akira, Sarah, and Pai, the Virtua Fighter characters from the game. So, you know, again, not a bad pack, and especially being free. I don't know if any of these costumes were available as things that you could unlock through regular gameplay, but they is available and for free. So if you own DOA 5, make sure that you log into the game and go to the marketplace through the link on the home screen in the title, and you'll be able to see the DLC first time pack and grab that for, like I said, free. So quick, you know, little guy there. And then I was going to talk actually about the DOA, not the DOA, the Dance Central 3 demo. Because while I was having problems with the Nyko reading me, I did get to spend some time with the demo, which was cool. So really quickly, because hopefully we can get things worked out, and when the game comes out next week, we will be able to play it, to talk about it. Otherwise, I'm not exactly sure what we're going to do, because I don't have the ability to move my living room around in any way, shape, or form that will give me 8 feet. So, this is going to be special. But what was really cool is that there were 3 songs available in the demo. The demo itself is only just a little bit over a gig. It comes in at like 1.06 gigs. So
yikes, that's a beefy little piece of...
It's not bad when you think of a demo. I mean,
but not everybody has a system that has a big hard drive.
Look, you gotta be picky about your demos if you were cheap and didn't get a hard drive.
Not everybody is cheap, you know, we're living in a recession.
Pandalicious, how big is a hard drive in your Xbox?
200-something gigs.
250 gigs?
Yeah.
So you're saying 1 gig, you don't have 1 gig?
Oh no, I've got the space, but there might be people out there who don't have the space.
Here's what I'm saying. The demo isn't large. It is a reasonable size. The demo on a good internet connection is only going to take 5 minutes to download. So it's not like, you know, the Shenmue demo that was like twice as big.
Okay.
Or the Rage demo, which was 3 times as big.
That was a big demo.
It was a big demo.
Big demo!
Okay, so, you know, let's not go there. Also, you know,
let's not get hasty.
There's DLC that's larger than that. The Mass Effect stuff. Leviathan was over at gig, I think.
Leviathan!
Anyway, jumped in the demo. You got 3 songs that you got to play in the demo. You got to play a section of Moves Like Jagger. You got to play a section of the Jennifer Lopez song Get It on the Floor. And then you got to play a section of Starships by Nicki Minaj. So definitely a nice little sampling of the up-tempo songs. I thought it would have been interesting to have included one of the genre blending songs, if you will. You know, something from the 70s or the 60s, because there is some disco in there. So I thought it would have been nice to have
Hustle.
You know, that one, or Turn the Beat Around.
The Beat Around.
Just something to break up the pop feel, because I think that's one of the things that people complain about with Dance Central, if there are any complaints, is that everything is really poppy, which is one of the things that they are addressing in this game. When you look at, you know, just the breadth of songs that are going to be in this game and the inclusion of the K-pop, which we'll hopefully get to talk about next
and
week.
And even the incorporation of an even better story than what we got from Dance Central 2. Because there was actually a story in Dance Central 2.
Yeah, that's what I keep being told. But I thought, one, the visuals look great. As far as the movement on screen, it's all flawless. You know how when we were playing 1, there were some things that were a little, you know, jumpy and jaggy?
Yep.
That's all gone.
I'm not surprised. Harmonix knows how to represent.
The character animations and voices and styles definitely kicked up a notch from 2, which is cool. And the different modes of play that you have is really great to see. You know, right off the bat, even in the demo, you can do 2-player. And so the screen shows whether or not it can see both first and second player or not, which is really welcoming. To see that even in the demo, they're thinking about the multiplayer. The short sections were basically just a quick sampling of the songs. So it was a verse and the chorus and a pose for each. So you got, you know, 2 or 3 moves depending upon whether you kicked it off on the easy or you kicked it off on the medium. If you did medium, you would get anywhere between 4 and 5 different moves to doing your little section. But I gotta tell you, I really want to get this Zoom thing working out, because I think that Dance Central 3 is going to be a lot of fun. I ran through the demo twice, and I broke a sweat. But I was feeling good about it, even though the thing was red the entire time, because the Kinect was not reading me appropriately. At one point in time, it even stopped in the middle of the thing. It was like, I can't see you.
Man, your Kinect needs to go to school.
It did. It got the glasses on and everything. Oh, my God.
It needs to go back to remedial reading.
Oh, why am I kind of going to be like that?
It's got to do its phonics again. Oh, my God. Do you remember phonics?
I hated phonics, but I was good at it. So, you know, I'm disappointed in the Zoom. I said it before, but I'll say it again. But I'm not disappointed in the demo. It's really easy to jump into. It's very clean as far as navigating it. You know, one of the things that I thought was always a pain in the ass when it came to Dance Central was, you know, how quickly when you would move your arm to slide down the menu, it would jump. And so you'd really have to kind of stop yourself and almost move it like an inch at a time in order to get up to the
thing
that
you want.
Hey,
it's trying to develop your ISOs.
It's much better on the tracking when it was picking me up at that. So it's very easy to navigate directly down to the item that I wanted and select it. And so that's been improved, which is great because there are plenty of times when I was, you know, jumping in to perform it when I really just wanted to rehearse it.
Right.
On previous games. So I didn't do that as much. So I'm really looking forward to the game when it releases next Tuesday. I'm hoping that I can work out and figure out what's the right place to put the Kinect with the Zoom on it. Right lights to turn on and not turn on. And light windows to block and not block. To get it to track me the way that I need it to in order to play the game. So that's what I'm hoping is going to happen. I'm actually going to try and possibly mount it off-center from my TV to see if I get fewer things reflecting.
For science.
So that's another one of my little guys. What else do you have, Panda?
All right, well, this one isn't necessarily as small as...
No, this one should be the one with density.
This is the one with density in it. You guys should not be very surprised.
Don't be surprised.
There's no alarming here. You guys should already know exactly what I'm going to be talking about.
You should kind of have already figured it out.
Go ahead. I'm going to put a disclaimer up on the front. There's the disclaimer. I am a Resident Evil apologist. I have bought poor Resident Evil games and have tried to stick by them. I bought Operation Raccoon City on release day.
Sorry. No judgment.
I'm still really bitter about that, but I did it. I own it, and I've done my damage.
There are worse things in your life that you've done. I mean, that's pretty bad.
I've played Dead Aim. So obviously, rude. I have done some horrible things in my life.
Look, I owned the bouncer, okay? I
mean, you gave it to me, and I loved it, so...
No, I love the bouncer, too, but...
Anyway, so I bought Resident Evil 6. Not a big surprise. I've been playing Resident Evil 6.
Not a big surprise.
Not a big surprise. I'm really liking Resident Evil 6.
Surprise! That's me. Hold on. Panda.
Yeah.
Panda.
Yeah.
You have been shitting on this game.
I've been shitting on this game since at first they started teasing trailers of it.
You have piled so much shit on this game. It fertilized
and grew like a tree.
There's a fucking tree on
there's
it.
There's a tree sprig growing out of the case.
And it's a very nice little tree.
It is.
But you've been shitting on this game forever. What do you mean you like it? Because you said last week.
I know.
Basically, fuck this game in the face. Like, you said that.
Yeah, I did. If you go back to the show, I probably did
you
say
did.
Fuck this game in the face.
You did. You were like, I'm going to buy
and
it,
here's,
but...
And here's... Here it is.
Because you were like, it's not a here. Survival.
It's not.
And you were like, and I don't want that.
I know.
Horror survivor snob. And then you adjusted your glasses.
And I am a survival snob.
And you adjusted your glasses. And I remember seeing it in the reflection of my computer.
I did. And granted, our audience can't see it, but I'm actually not wearing my glasses today.
Oh, is that why you like it? Did you take your glasses off and you couldn't see it? Is that what
no.
it was?
Let me explain. Can I explain?
I mean, you could try.
All right, I'm going to explain.
I'm in shock. I'm
so,
not gonna lie.
So, one, I am a survival horror snob.
Big time! Oh,
B,
so snob.
I was going to give this game a lot of shit for not being
You've
a survival horror
You've been shitting on
game.
It forever. You were like Nicki Minaj. You done shitted on it.
I did. Triangle.
It's triangle?
Yeah, that's my thing now. 1B triangle instead of 1, 2, 3, my reasons.
1B
triangle?
1B triangle. Okay.
and triangle.
I'm not even going to try to figure out the logic.
You can't, because it's special.
Nope.
So, yes. It's not...
So, triangle.
So, triangle, the story is interesting.
What?
Now, here's where I'm going to backtrack some. We're going to Tarantino this. Like I said, not a survival horror game. Mm-hmm. And if you go into this game not expecting that, you may find it enjoyable.
Well, now, Panda, I got to stop you here, because... You had put the poo-poo on this game, okay?
Yep. I smeared and it on. I you, kicked that shit
like,
on.
There was a lot of poo-poo on this game. Then this week, like, I've been watching the Twitters and the Facebooks, and there's a lot of people going, poo-poo on the game.
Oh, yeah.
And now you're saying not so much with the poo-poo.
I don't think it's shit. I don't.
Wow! Okay, go ahead. I'm listening.
It's... Honestly, if they took off the Resident Evil logo, and you put any slew of characters who are not from the RE universe into this game, people would probably still find this game enjoyable for its story. We still have crappy-ass cameras, but all Resident Evil games have had horrible cameras. They have not changed it. It's not going to change, so we need to stop bitching about that, because obviously Capcom's like, eat my nuts. The camera's gonna be how I want the fucking camera. The end. And they've made that eerily so in every game since the first one.
Yeah, they pretty much not.
They were like, fuck the fans. And the fans were like, I hate you, but I still bought you a game. So there we go. Obviously, there's more in for it than the
camera.
Well,
I don't think it's so much Capcom going, eat our nuts, we're not changing it. But no, this is really how we need the camera to be. And
there are crappy cameras in God of War.
Oh my God.
But you still buy it.
Do you remember when I glitched through the bars at the bottom of God of War and I was in the black space and I couldn't swim out?
Yep.
And I'm just like, I'm stuck in Hades underwater. Figure that out.
Yep. But I'm just saying, crappy cameras, but it didn't dissuade you. It wasn't a deal breaker.
Nope, not a deal breaker.
And it's never been a deal breaker for Resident Evil, because obviously Capcom has always had a reservoir of Resident Evil fans. Yeah, see what I did there? So, if you can disband your belief long enough.
I don't know, Panda.
You will find the pearls of niceness.
I don't know.
In this vast sea of, and it, yeah.
You said poo-poo.
Yeah, I know. So let me
now
explain.
You're saying pearls. I'm very confused.
Small pearls. These aren't like huge pearls you can take to the bank, but you can put a little thing in them and make them earrings after you clean the shit off of them. But anyway, so if you take all those layers off, honestly, the action and suspense is really, I think it's fairly done. Honestly, I could see this storyline happening in a Gears of War scenario.
What?
Shit's going to hell all around you, and you're trying to make your way from point A to point B. Mm-hmm. At the end, there's a boss next chapter, essentially.
Dude, that's fucking every action game on the planet.
Yes. So this game is an action game, it's not a survival horror game, and the minute that you allow yourself to accept that one simple truth...
Which you said was the reason why you were putting poo-poo on it.
I know, but now I'm taking the poo-poo off.
I'm so confused! You're like, this is makes it poo-poo, and now you're makes it awesome!
Well, I didn't say awesome.
You said good.
I said decent.
No, you said good.
Good. Good. Alright, I will hold to good. So here's the deal. I've only played one campaign so far. The game comes with four campaigns total, but you don't get the last one until you've completed all three. So one doesn't unlock until later.
Okay.
Leon's campaign is a step back in the direction of survival horror. You know, in the Resident Evil universe.
Okay.
You know, in Resident Evil 1, like, when you're going through the mansion and you're going through doors, you couldn't just kick down the door and face any baddies in the room. Like, the doors opened slowly, you know, it took a while for the screen to load up, so you had no idea what you were possibly staring at when you got into a room, and it gradually builds up that tension, which I really liked. Ammo is not abundant. It doesn't fall and rain from the sky so that you always have the comfort of having your bullets. In the beginning, you really do have to aim for the head, minimal shots, and if you can't do that, then you need to melee yourself out of the situation.
Well, I mean, zombies are coming down the hill. You gotta shoot them in the head.
Yeah. You got you ain't got time to make a profile.
You ain't got time to make no profile.
But I'm just saying that they took a positive step backwards, which is awkward to say
because you think you want... A positive step backwards. Yes.
In his campaign alone. Okay. I thought I was going to have an issue with Helena Harper because everybody's got a partner in their campaigns.
Mm-hmm.
You know, Leon's got a partner. Chris has a partner. Jake has a partner. The only one who does not have a partner is the fourth campaign, which is Ada's. So, spoilers if you didn't already know that, but you should have already if you've been reading the reviews and whatnot. That is the only campaign that you have to solo. There are five chapters in each of the campaigns, and each chapter runs about 2 hours of gameplay.
Now, your partners that are in the chapters, are they AI controlled and do they assist or are they just...
I thought that the AI was better thought out now. Your NPCs and your AI partner do a lot better now than you won't have a Sheva you won't have a Sheva incident.
Uh-huh.
You won't have your partner healing you when you don't need to be healed. Or refusing to give you the bullets that you need for your gun when you're getting knifed down or eaten, your face eaten off. You won't have that problem.
Well, that's good. And that's a problem.
No, and I've also found that the NPCs, like, if you get someone who has, you have to follow them or escort them somewhere, that they don't just run behind you helpless and just wait to get attacked. Some of them will actually do some fighting and will actually be slightly useful to you if you're playing alone. They do make it fairly easy for you to join other people's games as long as they allow that option.
Okay, so it's the jump in, like, Gears?
Yeah. You could jump in, jump out, as long as you have that setting for allow people to come into your game.
Yep.
You can do that. Interesting point, they've, allowed this element called, intersections. So, in each of the campaigns, even Ada's included, there are certain parts of the game where you're, whatever one you're playing, like, say you and me are playing the Leon campaign, because one, that's the only one I'm really familiar with.
And two, it's probably the only thing that you'd ever be able to get talk me into playing.
Probably. Yeah. Mm-hmm. But anyway, say we're playing that, and at one section in his campaign, Leon and Helena do bump into Chris and his partner, Fuckface, I'm a Tool, because I don't even know who he is. I've seen him once, and he already has a tool face.
I think that would actually be an amazing name for a character. You just see him walk in and be like, Fuckface, I'm a Tool, has entered the arena.
Yeah, exactly. He's a tool.
I would.
He's quick to anger. He's, like, got Jarhead written all over him.
Oh, my God. Okay, yep.
And there will be times where you will intersect with everybody's campaigns. And if you have someone, if someone on the web is playing that particular campaign at that particular moment, the games will join up and you will actually end up playing with four people at a given time during these intersections.
Okay, that's kind of cool.
It is. Now, granted, I think they only give it about a minute, and if no one's found, then the NPCs will just, you know, the computer will take over.
Mm-hmm.
But they do allow that element to come in. So there are several points where you might encounter another character, and then you'll have a third person in there, only for that particular moment. Once that's over and done with and the story continues, that's it.
Yeah, but it's interesting that you will have these moments where you will, in fact, you know, for lack of better terms, intersect with other players.
Yeah. I like that. I really do like the idea.
To have that shared experience for even a couple of moments. That's kind of an interesting...
I mean, I think it was a better practice to go for this particular type of story. Granted, if they really wanted to do a four-person co-op, they could have totally just done it. We've seen it done in Gears of War, and we've seen it in Borderlands, and we've experienced
it. We've seen it in Left 4 Dead, shit.
Yeah, so, I mean, they could have done that, but they chose to show us the element.
Speaking of which, we need to have a Gears weekend.
Okay.
Because I have more achievements.
Awkward moment to bring
that
up.
Well, you said Gears with the multiplayer, and it made me think of Gears, and I was like, oh my god, Gears!
Anyway, so those intersections will happen, and I think that's really interesting and great. There's this weird skill system, so there are some hang-ups that I'm kind of like, you didn't need to do this.
really, Capcom?
There's been an upgrade system since, like... Fives wasn't that great either, but this is far worse than Fives was. So you can gather skill points, and they look like chess pieces. So after you down a baddie, you might see a knight, or you might see a pawn, or you might see a weird, like, queen pawn just hanging out, and boom, you get some points. And you're able to build up these particular attributes, these perks, that will make you better mm-hmm. at doing certain things in the level. It seems to all kind of stick to whatever you have set up in one campaign will go to the next one. But you want to turn those off and suit those to whatever your task is in that particular chapter of the campaign. That can be a little time consuming, especially because you can change your skills during the campaign, but you don't really get a pause button, so you have to be really careful as to when you're going to do that.
Okay.
Because you'll get eaten while you're assessing your skills.
Yeah, that's a thing that I would have some issue
yeah.
with.
Yeah. They've also really kind of fucked up the inventory system.
Oh, yay.
Because they're trying to make it more modern and high-tech, and I get where they were going with it, but it kind of sucks. It sucks. So, now you get your health tablets, you know, your green leaves and your red leaves, and you have to convert them to little tablets that somehow fit in your phone case.
I'm sorry, you have to make your own healing elements?
Yep, you have to try. So instead of just, you know, grinding up the leaves. So it's
like smithing and Bayonetta?
Yeah, well, you don't have to swirl anything around, but you have to combine them, and then they turn into tablets. And you can hold so many tablets in your phone case, and if you get hit, you can just pop one tablet instead of, you know, wasting a whole heal spray.
Right.
Which, I mean, I guess I understand why they did that, but, it, you know, if you're not really paying attention to the tutorial like I was, because, yeah, I don't.
Because you don't follow directions well. I played the game enough
that I figure I know the basics.
No,
but they changed the basics on me. And for a good chunk of the first chapter of the first campaign, I didn't realize I was collecting all these heal pellets. And finally the guy's like, why don't you heal? I'm like, I don't know where my plants are. And he's like, bitch, they're in tablets. Just hit your RB button. And then, like, I took, like, 18 of them, and I'm like, well, I wish I had known that 20 minutes ago, but, you know, so some of it is poor. There's a lot of execution choices that they really should have just left the fuck alone.
Uh-huh.
There is another element of Intersection that I actually really like, and I feel like Capcom kind of took this from, the people who made Demon Souls and Dark Souls.
Okay.
So, if you remember, way back when I was playing Demon Souls,
I remember you being pissed.
How I mentioned that I would get Black Phantoms who could invade your game.
Yep.
Well, now, through a different setting called the Agent Hunt setting, you can actually have players come in as a baddie. Come in as a zombie or a mutated wretch of some kind and try to aim to take you out in the game.
That would piss me off, because if one of my friends came in and took me out...
Oh, no, it's not... Your friends could try to search you out, but I think it's really kind of random.
Okay.
But, you know, if you're, you know, playing on professional and you're really like, man, I really don't want something to come and, you know, fuck me up, and you forgot to shut off your Agent Hunt, well, then you know what? You're screwed. Because people are going to be aiming for you.
Yeah, I would not be playing on professional.
I already kicked it up a notch. I came in playing on veteran because I don't feel like there's not much of a learning curve, and they've actually kind of dumbed down some of the melee stuff. They've kicked up the QTEs a little bit, so now it's not just like button mashing A. Now it's a directional and like a YB or a XXA combination, which I kind of like because it put me on my toes, because here I was expecting the same old kind of QTEs and they're not.
Okay, so
there are a lot of surprise elements, and I'm like, ooh, I see why this would work, and I kind of like it here, but I don't like it over here.
So, okay, I mean, well, that's fair.
Yeah.
So, I mean, we had the same thing about some of the things that were in the Uncharted game.
Yeah, exactly. I would say it like that. So, I mean, I did say on RP Grinders that, I mean, if you are a true, Resident Evil apologist, not even necessarily a fan... Because fans, true fans, stopped playing after...
Why are you an apologist?
Well, I'll explain that in a second. So, true fans stopped playing Resident Evil after 4 because they were like, you can't beat this. 4 was a masterpiece. We're done. We're going to pretend that the story ended here with Leon saving the president's daughter and probably getting a lot of poon, and we're done.
Oh, he got a lot of poon. He did.
He does.
He got that ass.
I've already been saying that this should be a meme that, you know, because he saved several ladies in the first campaign already in 6.
He tapped it.
That Leon Kennedy is for the ladies.
He is.
But anyway.
Ladies love Leon Kennedy.
Bitches do too. But anyway. Okay. Anyway. So when 5 came out, and, you know, this is some backstory, you know, 5 was sun-drenched. You know, there were barely...
sun-drenched?
Because it was in Africa during the day. You were barely doing things at night. You didn't have to worry about things rustling around because you could see everything that was coming at you. And the two elements, the two times where you didn't, yeah, they were kind of spooky, but they weren't like, oh my God, I just peed my pants, I'm scared moments. They were just like, oh, who turned out the lights? Oh, look, Sheva has a lantern. Darkness gone. Like, it didn't give you enough time to, you know, feel foreboding or worry or be unsure about something because, boom, there was a giant light.
Uh-huh.
You know, and the second time you get that, you're fighting Wesker, but there are giant searchlights that are scanning down on top of you, so you were never in the dark for very long. And,
Oh, that's good, because I don't like to be in the dark
for very long. I know you don't, but you wouldn't be playing this game, Ninja.
Correct.
But I'm just saying. And a lot of people didn't like that horrible, you know, integration of heavier action in 5 when they had really pushed the gate with 4. So it was a big step backwards to them. A bad backwards, not a good backwards. Let me just explain that.
Yeah. This was a bad step back.
I bought 5. And I did not only buy 5 once. I bought 5 twice. One for my PS3 and one for my Xbox.
Which I still was like, what the fuck?
I liked the game. Granted, I also liked the fact that, you know, oh my God, Chris had a black partner. I was a big fan of Sheva. Her AI sucked, but I liked her character. So I was going to stick it out with her. And I did. And to this day, I still get ostracized for liking 5. And I apologize for liking 5. But I liked 5. The end.
Well, and that's why I like 6.
And I like 6, so I'm sure I'm going to be a Resident Evil 6 apologist, too. Now, granted, I have not finished all the campaigns, so I do not know the entire story at this point. I have not played Mercenaries yet, either, so I don't know how different Mercenaries from 5 has changed from 6.
Okay.
But I am looking forward to playing that, but I really want to get through the campaigns and the story, because that's what I'm buying into. I'm buying into the story. It could be, you know, Simon S. Fuller and not Leon S. Kennedy, and I would probably still find the story engaging enough. So I can wipe out the fact that this is supposed to be a Resident Evil universe and it just be a universe that has gone to fucking shit. And I have to fix it somehow with my emo hair and my, you know, biker jacket.
Okay.
And
your emo hair and your
biker because jacket. Leon has the emo hair he over has the face. The emo?
Leon has the emo?
He does.
Okay.
So, for fans, I would say you could rent it if you're curious.
Mm-hmm.
You don't have to own it. Apologists already own it and got it on release day. So, and that's where you are. That's where you sit. That's the pie.
I'm just loving this from poo-poo to yahoo.
Poo-poo to yay?
I'm just saying, this is the first time that you've done a
complete... I've done a little 360.
No, you didn't come back to it being poop.
Oh, okay, then I did a 180.
Yes.
I did a 90, and then I did another 90. I did 290s. Together.
Oh, dear God.
So I would say that. Rent it if you have a high curiosity, but if you don't, you can leave it alone and be perfectly happy and content.
Okay, but... I'm just saying.
I know. I shit on it hardcore. Oh, like, I hardcore pooped on it.
Every time you mentioned it, it was like, oh, and by the way, this is me shitting on it. Please.
I know. And now I'm going, let me take that napkin. Let me take that Cottonelle wipe and wipe off that shit.
Here's a Cottonelle wipe because this is, I didn't need to do that.
Let me end on one note.
Okay. And that note would be.
Well, the thing was, as soon as everyone saw the logo for Resident Evil 6, and sadly, I dodged this bullet, and I don't know how I did, but if you look at the logo, and then you see what someone has done to this logo, you will never look at the regular logo the same way again. I wish the person who had brought this to me had not, because I now have to keep my case facing the other way because I can't look at it anymore. So if you don't know, the cover for Resident Evil 6 is literally a purpley back background with this weird like cloddy looking 6.
Mm-hmm.
Well, someone cleaned it up, and if you look at it really close, it looks like a giraffe wearing jeans, getting a blowjob from a lady.
What?
Yeah.
No, it doesn't.
Yes, it does. And I will show it to you after this. And hell, I'll even put it in the notes
no,
this
you
week.
Won't. No, no, no.
Because once you've seen it, you'll never not see it again. And it hurt my soul.
No, it doesn't.
Yes, it does. I will prove it to you later. And yeah, it's eye raping, and it's a little bit sad.
A little bit sad.
Yeah.
That's not right.
So, yeah, just take a look at it and think about it for a second. And then cringe to yourself silently. Just like I did.
Okay.
And that's the last note that I have on that. Do you have anything else?
I do. I got a couple more. They're I'm going to save one for next week. So I'm just going to do the one more here. And this one's actually anime.
Oh.
So I've talked about a gadget. Talked about a game.
And now I'm going to talk about anime.
And now I'm going to talk about anime. So it's like the trifecta.
Trifecta.
In one episode. So I've been going through and watching a bunch of different anime stuff that I would consider classic, like, you know, things that you have to watch to call yourself a true fan of the genre. You know, you got to go through the things that started it all. So you can't call yourself an anime fan if you've never watched Akira.
Nope.
Or you've never seen a Hayao Miyazaki movie. Or, you know, I think that you can't say that you're a fan unless you've watched something like a Tenchi or an Inuyasha or Dragon Ball.
Or Love Hina.
Or Love Hina.
Or Escaflowne.
I haven't seen Escaflowne yet.
Or, oh my god, what?
You were supposed to hook it up and then we didn't have the movie night where you were going to hook it
what?
Up.
What? I have not shown you Escaflowne?
Nope. We had set a night, you were going to bring it down, we were going to have popcorn, and then you bitched out.
Yeah, that sounds like me.
Mm-hmm. I wasn't going to bring it up, but you bitched out.
And Oh My Goddess.
And definitely Oh My Goddess would be in there. And so one of those for me for anime is Hellsing.
Oh, yes.
You can't really call yourself a fan unless you've seen Hellsing. And by seeing Hellsing, I mean not only the nice version of Hellsing where you are dealing with Incognito, but Hellsing Ultimate, which
shit got real.
Which you're dealing with Nazis, basically immortal.
Because you know zombies and Nazis are like mortal enemies, right?
And but then you have zombie and vampire Nazis, and you're just like, well, we're all fucked now, and so
we're all in this together.
I had not watched Ultimate.
Whoa, 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 whoa.
Yep.
Wow. How you feeling?
So I decided that I would be smart.
Uh-huh.
And because a big chunk of Ultimate was available on Hulu Plus, that I would take the opportunity and watch it. And
yes.
So disappointingly,
oh,
only up to 8.
Oh, all right.
Is on Hulu.
Okay.
And I have not been able to find 9 or 10 anywhere. I mean anywhere. So to give you a background, Hellsing is, I'm going to spoil a bunch of things, but it's a classic, so you should have watched it by now if you're listening to this podcast.
Yeah.
So I don't really feel bad. But
this pie contains spoilers.
So basically you have the house of Integra. And Integra, what is it? Integra, Wingate, Hellsing?
Yes.
Yeah. I just want to make sure, because I feel like there's 4 names in there, not 3. But Sir Integra, which is actually a chick.
She's a very hot chick.
She is the last in her family line.
If you were curious about being a Lizzie, she'd be the person to look at.
Okay, anyway, moving along, my segment.
Sorry.
You start with Integra as a child running through her family home, crying and trying to find someone to save her because her uncle is about to kill her. And
because he wants the power.
The interesting thing about that is that he keeps calling her Fraulein, which should have been my first clue that bad things were going to happen here. Because I've seen the what I believe to be the original Hellsing, which was the nice one, where some of this stuff happened, but not exactly. And Integra ends up in the dungeon. She has this flashback of her father dying, and as he's dying, saying, if anything ever happens where you're in a position where you cannot protect yourself and there's no place else to turn, you need to go to the old part of the house and down into the basement and go into this room. There is a tool there that will be able to help you. So she goes into this room, and there's what appears to be a corpse tied to the wall. It's not a corpse.
It's not?
Not a corpse. And her uncle and his henchmen are chasing her down there, and she is able to, using this key, unlock this thing and goes, how is this bloody thing supposed to help me? And then all of a sudden you see a red eye start to open, just as her uncle comes in and is talking about all the horrible things that are about to happen to her. And then there is this awakening where this psychotic-looking creature goes ballistic and basically takes everyone out and then becomes Integra's servant. And the servant is known as Alucard. Now, over and over and over again, after the first introduction of this character, he's referred to as Arucard. Not Alucard, but an R. Over and over and over again in the subtitles. And I don't know if that's just a typo or what. But if you watch the original Helsing, where a similar thing happens, you see Alucard, and anybody who watched the series and got two episodes in and ever got curious, you know, wrote it backwards and realized it's Dracula.
Yep.
Okay, not giving anything
surprise!
Away. The vampire of vampires. And he flexes his power as such. He dresses in all red, very matter of fact, ends up making a Draculina, which is a servant who is female, who is also...
It's a baby vamp.
It is, and the one that he makes basically to save her life, because in order to take out a vampire that he was charged to do so, because they were making zombies, he had to shoot through her, and so she was dying, and was like, look, I can save you if you want me to, but...
Well, that's not how you would have said it, because the wonderful voice actor who brings Alucard to life is none other than the beautifully brilliant Crispin Freeman, who I would have so many hot babies with.
Oh my god.
Oh, that man.
That's on the English dub. Anyway, in Ultimate, it is far more dark and disturbing.
No shit!
As you go through the stories than in the original Helsing that was released over here, where... There are overlaps in how some of the stories are set up and how some of the characters are introduced, but the dialogue is much darker, the outcomes are much darker, the fights are actually much more gory and brutal.
Not to mention, I feel like they give you a deeper snippet into the connection between Integra and Alucard.
Absolutely. Absolutely. The way that their relationship developed, as well as the relationship with the Queen, which I always felt... In the original Helsing that I saw, what happened with the Queen and betraying of the House of Helsing really didn't fit. And I couldn't figure out why, because up until that point, like, they were in service to the Queen. Integra's household was basically the knights of the Queen and were yep. her protector. And then you get into the last couple episodes and now it's, no, it's the Queen that's ordered everybody be taken out. And you're just like... Why would the Queen get rid of her own knights? And it wasn't really explained. What I've watched of Helsing Ultimate, everything is explained. You know exactly why you're going into different places. Like, you actually meet Schrodinger the cat.
Yep.
And Schrodinger the cat is dead, and Schrodinger the cat is alive, because Schrodinger the cat is a vampire. I'm like, that's just brilliant. That's just brilliant. Okay, see what you did there.
Yeah, his name actually isn't that whole study of putting a cat in the box and is the
yes,
with cat either alive or dead?
Yes.
It's both.
It's both. And so Schrodinger, the lieutenant, is both. You know, and...
Love it.
And you know, Rip Van Winkle is brought in a very interesting way, but it is very visceral and very dark and very much... gave me the impression that the people who did High School of the Dead watched Ultimate.
Yes. The people who, yes. I would put it in that order.
And were inspired by Ultimate to make High School of the Dead.
Plus panty shots.
Well, yes. Plus the sex. So they may have watched a little anything with panties or hentai. I don't know.
Panties!
But what I'm enjoying about it is that the story makes sense, which is very weird, in the way that it progresses. And even though it's so much darker and so much more visceral, I am attracted to it more and I am enjoying it more, frankly, than the first Helsing. You know, when you got to the point where, you know, I didn't understand why or how Dracula became in the service of the House of Helsing in the first series that I watched. And then to be sitting in an episode, like I said, I'm going to spoil it. So to be sitting in an episode where all of a sudden all the restrictions on Alucard are lifted and he is allowed to be his true self, which is Vlad the Impaler.
Yep.
And all of a sudden gets bulky, gets beefy, gets a mustache. You see the souls of all of the people that he killed and then took. You see his story on how he came to be Vlad the Impaler. And the power of which that he actually has at his command. And you're like, holy shit, how did this become something in the service of this one freaking person? Plus you get the whole Nazis and the Vatican thrown in there going all kinds of apeshit. And it's just crazy and enjoyable and really made me think and challenge some of my thoughts about history only in the relationship between the Vatican and the Reich. Because, you know, them being vampires is not possible, just like a zombie apocalypse. But it was really...
Zombie apocalypse is real.
Really interesting to me. And so I am recommending it. If you like vampire things at all in any way, shape, or form, or you are into really violent or vicious fighting anime series, you definitely need to check out Helsing Ultimate. I cannot recommend it more. I am dying to find 9 and 10 and whatever else is left out there. Because I feel like there's 12, but I can't, for the love of anything, find them.
Good luck!
Why do you say it like that?
I'm wishing you luck.
Why do you say it like you know where they are?
I don't know where they are.
Why are you looking like that, Panda?
I don't know what you're talking about.
Shut up. Do you have them?
Nope.
Are you bullshitting me?
Nope.
I have cheese.
Nope. I'm not bullshitting you. I do not own it.
Alright, so that's my stuff. So there you have it. Gadget, game, anime. Panda's doing the 180 and taking the shit off of Resident Evil 6.
Taking some of the shit off of Resident Evil 6.
I'm just saying, you put a lot of shit on that game.
I did. There's still a lot of shit on it, but I'm taking a good chunk of it off.
That's still...
It's putting a small baby smile on my face.
Wow. Okay, well, if you want to know more about the kinds of things that we're thinking, we're playing with, and getting our grubby bits on, then make sure that you check out the stuff that we write on our website. You can find it at www.egmnow.com/electricsisterhood, or you can go to our mainstay home away from home, electricsisterhood.com, to find all that news that you can use. And if you don't want to use that address,
you can use esh.co, that is esh.co. Like we said, bounce it to the website, we put up new articles within the week. All questions and comments should go to our Facebook page.
Facebook?
Land of Esh. I'm there all the time.
I'm there 3 days a week.
Yep, and I'm there all of the days.
All of the days?
I'm there all of the days, communicating and engaging with you. So talk with me.
She needs somebody to keep her company.
But, I mean, if you weren't aware, we also have this beautiful podcast.
That's right. You can get brand new episodes of our podcast by visiting the iTunes Music Store or the Microsoft Store and searching out Electric Sisterhood to subscribe to our podcast. But if you're not living those lives, if you don't have the Zune or an iDevice and you want to get it another way, you can always...
plug us into any RSS reader or any podcast search engines. But if you're looking for us, we got some friends you might enjoy too.
That's True, because we're not the only thing that makes up the land of Esh. You can check out our new podcast episodes, typically Monday mornings, poppin' fresh, by getting them in the i or Microsoft stores or subscribing to the podcast and other readers. But you can follow that up on Tuesday with a brand new episode of the Boston Bash Brigade podcast, which is like the testosterone to our estrogen. So they cover sports and stuff too, which we don't do.
Sports and balls.
And things like that. And follow that up on Wednesday to keep your gadgetry, nerdetry satiated with the podcast from our homeboy Deuces Wild Geek Aggro, checking them out on their website. And then for the rest of the week, keeping your nerd needs satiated, there's all the stuff that we talk about on Facebook and share. There are lulls, there are non-lulls, there's emo, there's cats, there's music. If you've never checked out a Wub Wub Wednesday, I highly recommend that you do it.
Wub Wub Wednesday!
And the only place you're going to find that is on our Facebook page, facebook.com/landofesh. You can check us out on Twitter if you want all the news needs from what we are doing on our respective websites. Then you want to follow at ESH News on Twitter if you want to check out us individually, because we talk about more than just games. We're kind of random like that. Then make sure that you go to twitter.com/ninjasista and check out my Land of Ash list to see all the feeds of the folks that make up the Land of Ash list. And like I said, Facebook, Twitter, we're probably going to have a Pinterest at some point.
Maybe. Not yet,
but, you know, we're on the Facebooks. That's the most important thing. I'm just saying. There's like a billion people on it. Just saying. So with that, Panda.
Yeah.
What shit you digging this week?
I am digging...
You knew this was coming.
I know, and I didn't prepare. So I'm digging unpreparedness.
Really?
Yep.
No.
No.
You can't do that.
I can't.
No. Not allowed. Rejected. You got a whammy on that. Do it again. What shit you digging?
I'm digging pretzel bites.
I'll give you that one. But only barely, Panda. There's so many things you could have said. Arcade games.
I could have.
You could have. Okay, you did that. Yep. You could have said that you were digging TVs.
Yeah.
Because you don't have one. I mean,
I have one.
You don't have one, you know.
I don't have a big one.
Yeah.
I don't have a big one.
Okay.
Womp womp. What shit are you digging?
Cards Against Humanity.
You haven't even played it yet.
Not with people.
You played it by yourself.
Just a little bit. And I'm like, I need people to play this with. Seriously. It's the best game.
Ninja ever. Is digging friends because she needs some.
You know what? Eat a dick. As always, I am Ninja Sister.
And I'm Pandalicious.
And we will catch you next week.
I'm waving goodbye at you.